All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sean Campbell. I'm a doctoral student with the University of Florida out of the Mid-Florida Research and Education Center in Apopka. And today I'm going to be talking about the influence of drying method on visual quality of hops, Humulus lupulus. So hops, again, Humulus lupulus, is a perennial herbaceous crop, and it's most of the production in the world is going to be out of the United States and Europe, where it's primarily cultivated for its mature cones, and those are an essential ingredient in beer production. So within the last couple of years, we have seen an increased demand of basically hop production. What that's influenced by is the popularity of heavily hopped beer styles. So a lot of you are familiar with your IPAs, your double IPAs, your triple IPAs. There's really no end to how many eyes they can add. And what this has led to is a lot of small scale, usually 0.1 to 0.2 hectares, farms in non-traditional hop production regions. So as I mentioned, that the U.S. and Europe are large production areas, but within the U.S., most of that production is going to be coming from the PNW, the Pacific Northwest. We've had a lot of farms coming up in other areas, so we want to see how we can help them. I included a couple of graphics just to show you guys just how crazy beer people are. The one on the bottom, a lot of you might not realize the amount of hops that go into different beer styles. So this is just a small graph, and it shows you that your traditional styles, your stouts and porters, your lagers, may have as little as 0.2, 0.3 pounds per, and it's a typical keg, whereas if you're going into your Imperial IPA, it could have up to 4 pounds. So if you're a brewer and you're charging the same amount for two glasses of beer, and one has maybe 20 times the inputs, that's very significant. Also on the left, I included something I think is personally interesting. This is actually a waiver that Dogfish Head, one of the better craft beer producers in the country, put out a few years ago. They actually created an experimental beer. The pronunciation of the name is, and I have looked this up, Hoo Lord. Apparently when you try it, that's what you say. They actually had people sign a waiver because it was so bitter that it came out at 658 IBUs. For reference, their next highest hoppy beer, their 120-minute IPA, is only about 120 IBUs. This was something they did for fun, and again, you had to sign a waiver just to try it. Beer people are crazy. All right. So with hops, it does require a post-harvest drying step. When they're pulled off the plant, they are referred to as wet hops. Wet hops do have some applications, but with most crops, in the wet form, they do not have a long shelf life. So the first step when you bring them out of the field is you do need to dry them down. This preserves quality and ensures long-term storage. So in the top left, I have an image of a Neo Mexicana, shortened to Neo 1, and that's the wet versus dried. And then in the top right, those are actually the same batch, but I did a cross section. So you can see on the inside of the bracts, those yellow lupulin glands, that's where all the flavor is at. So when we're drying, our real goal is to preserve the quality of those yellow glands with all the flavors, the amount volatiles, the alpha acids. So, all right. Traditionally, you would use something called an oast. An oast, in its image in the top right, a pretty traditional version, is a large-scale hop drying production facility. So this would be something you would find in Europe or one of the large areas where they're actually bringing them in by the bushel. They have large fires where they're kilning them and all that. But if you're a research facility or if you're a small-scale production facility, it doesn't make much sense to build an oast, to build a whole dedicated area for this. And there are some alternatives. Sun and oven drying are traditional alternatives when you look at horticultural crops across the world. On the bottom left, you can see an image of a solar drying tray. Might be popular for things like chocolate or other ones where you ferment them. Or on the bottom right is an example of a tobacco drying facility. So you can see multi-level. They just hang the leaves from the ceiling, let them naturally dry. Problem with this is when you impact or when you expose them to heat, light, or air, this will reduce the quality of the hops. Again, we want to preserve mainly the volatile compounds. That's your big ticket thing for your brewer. So heat, light, and air are all going to degrade these volatiles. All right, so as an alternative, we developed what we're referring to as the novel drying rig. I actually built this in the lab off of an old model that I took from, if any are familiar with Alton Brown. I adapted this off of something he did, but it costs about $30 to construct, and it can be assembled completely without tools. In the bottom left, I have a little diagram to show you the two different versions we had set up. Basically, the one on the left would be for more research-type drying. The one on the right would be for larger quantities. If I can just show you real quick, it's a rather simple setup. All you do is you place a 20-inch box fan, easily purchased from any hardware store, uses about 100 watts of energy. Place it on some stands. All that does is allow for airflow. I was using little 2-inch pots. Perfect. And then on top, you're going to have the area where you contain your material being dried. So you can see in the image above, we were drying down hops for research programs. So I needed to keep all the hops from every individual bind separated. So I used household air filters like you would use in your air conditioning. You do need to make sure you use the natural fiber ones. Obviously, you don't want to use the composite gnarly ones. But the hops can then be lined up in the individual rows. Masking tape is used to distinguish which are which. And then they're stacked. When you turn the fan on, it blows air from the bottom up, and it basically just dries the hops, use force-cooled air. On the right, you can see we actually included a 20 by 20 inch wire cage. This was made from food grade wire material, and all this does is allow larger scale production growers to grow bindles at a time, to dry bindles at a time rather than stack between the individual layers. And so again, this just uses high volumes of forced air for small scale drying of horticultural crops. All right, so the objective was to assess the impact of drying method on visual quality of dried hops. So we used 27 hop samples, 3 reps per plant by method by method cross, and then 3 plants from 2 cultivars, Cascade and Neo 1. So the visual quality pre and post dehydration was quantified using a colorimeter. So again, this is just to show you the 3 different methods. We had the force-cooled air, which was on the novel drying rig I just illustrated, and in a convection oven set at 58 degrees Celsius. And these were both done for 24-hour duration. And then the passive evaporation, the hop cones were just left on plates, left in a typical lab environment, and then allowed to passively evaporate for 72 hours. So with the convection oven, we found that it caused a significantly lower hue and a significantly lighter color over the forced cool air and the passive evaporation. What you can see on my images on the right is it's 2 replications from each drying treatment, and then the whole cone and the cross section. So what you're noticing here is that the 2 replications from the convention, from the convection oven are going to have a significantly lower hue and lighter color. Basically, they're going to lose that green color and instead go to a more brown, shriveled color. Again, mostly we're looking right here in the cross section, so you can really see how a lot of those yellow lupulin glands have been damaged. All right, so also changes in hue were significantly greater in the Neo 1 over the Cascade, regardless of drying method. I do have an asterisk there because those were reversed in the abstract. Sorry. But again, what you're looking at is the Neo 1s versus the Cascade, and that the difference in color is more significant in the Neo 1 versus the Cascade. So we can conclude that the Cascade holds up to these drying treatments better than the Neo 1. All right, so for conclusion, greater visual quality of hops is maintained when dried using the force-cooled air or passive evaporation over the convection oven. Again, this makes sense. You're introducing heat when you use the oven. This is going to degrade the cones and the quality. And given the 3-fold increase in time required for passive evaporation, application of force-cooled air is likely the most effective drying method for maintaining high visual quality in hops post-harvest. So what we're saying is the force-cooled air and the passive evaporation gave similar results, but when one takes a third less time, obviously this is the more economically viable option. Okay, so for additional research, we want to look at the influence of drying method on hop oil and its effect on visual, sensory, and consumptive quality of hops. I included these images below because I took these actually from one of the larger hop producers, suppliers, and I just want to illustrate where something like this may look normal in a room full of scientific individuals. We can look at this and say, okay, this is a chemical breakdown. This shows the different components and all that. But one thing we're finding is your average home brewer or your brewer also wants this. When they're coming to us, they're asking, what's your percentages? What's your alpha acids? What's your beta acids? So we're finding that they are much more knowledgeable and they demand these kinds of things. So they are coming and demanding the best quality product and the highest alpha acids, and they're very knowledgeable and they're very well trained on what they want and what they're willing to spend their money on. All right. Any questions? All right. Yes. Mm-hmm. The reason for the browning, my first assumption would just be they were being burnt. When you're looking out for different, when we first started investigating how we were going to do our different drying techniques, I basically went and looked for similar crops and how they are dried. There's actually very, very little information available on commercial hop production. So you basically have to find similar processes, similar crops, and just adapt. My guess would be that the 137 Fahrenheit, about the 58 Celsius that we used, was just too hot. It burned them. Again, what you're really looking for is preservation of those volatile compounds, and heat is just going to be the first thing to make them go. So, yes.
Muck around a little bit with botrytis infections and that kind of thing on the blossoms. You can rapidly lose some of those volatiles as well.
Yes.
I think a wet harvest is one of those things you kind of worry about a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you work with that at all, moisture content or wetness at harvest?
Yes, actually, so this one was just a small portion of an overall larger investigation we did. There's actually several EDIS publications. I believe one was published, one's about to be published, and the other one is in the review process. But one is specifically looking at, if you're a farmer, how do I know the optimal time to harvest? And most of that is done by moisture content. So we recommend that you want your final hop dry down to be about 8 to 12% moisture. Normally they're going to be starting anywhere from 60, 70, 80, depends on the drying time, the maturity, season, all that. But yes, in doing this, we did look at drying them down to the appropriate 8 to 12% moisture content. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. EDIS is the University of Florida internal peer-reviewed publication. The electronic Electronic Data Information System. So it's a great way for us in the University of Florida to put out very reputable peer-reviewed publications, but ones that have a much shorter publication time. So it's something I can produce and very easily give to my extension cooperators within a matter of weeks or months as versus 2 years. So again, we have several coming out right now aimed at helping our small-scale extension cooperators in their hops production. Okay. Yes?
So did you ever think about freeze-drying?
We have, and that would be a great one to look in the future. I know, so that Hulord, the one I showed you, they actually experimented with multiple varieties. So it was a new experimental high alpha acid hop. They used supercritical CO2 extraction. They looked at freeze drying. But to be honest, if you're a small-scale production person or a producer, you don't have access to a freeze dryer. Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting to look at. Like you said, if the vacuum would, again, pull those off, but that would be a great one to look at for a future. And that's the way the industry is going, is it's not always practical, it's what's cool. What's the consumer willing to spend money on? And in Florida, that's the real point, is beer people are crazy. We will line up down the street, pay way too much money for a beer just because it's cool. And that's the industry. It is what it is. All right, I think I'm getting kicked off, so thank you.